What we often focus our energy on is the other person and trying to get them to be at peace with us, rather than, as much as it has to do with you, be at peace with all men. Now, whether they are at peace with you is not your responsibility, but whether you're at peace with them is your responsibility. The power of emotional intelligence. Now, it may sound like, well, wow, that's kind of a secular, worldly phrase, isn't it? But no, it's really not. It's really a biblical phrase, and it's a biblical principle to have the mind of Christ, the intelligence of Christ factored in to how you handle your emotions, how you process your emotions, and how you allow your emotions to move you. Because emotion, if you take the word emotion, the word is literally translated as internal motion. Emotion is internal motion. In other words, it's motion inside of you that moves you to an action. It's motion inside of you that moves you to an action, or you pause and you refuse to let it move you to an action, but it's trying to move you to an action. Our emotions don't consult with us before they act, but we need to consult with ourselves before we allow our emotions to act. Okay, so I'm gonna get into this. If you grew up well, and I don't want to insult anybody's parents, including my own. But my goal is not, see, we can't be focused on people's feelings never being hurt. We have to focus on what's going to help you grow, not at the expense of somebody else, but you can't constantly put people's feelings above your own maturity and above you. You can't let people intimidate you into behaving a certain way that protects them, when really what you're responsible for is yourself. If that makes sense. And there's a scripture that I love in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, and it says, be at peace with all men as much as it has to do with you, as much as it has to do with you. In other words, what we often focus our energy on is the other person and trying to get them to be at peace with us, rather than, as much as it has to do with you, be at peace with all men. Now, whether they are at peace with you is not your responsibility, but whether you're at peace with them is your responsibility. As much as it has to do with you, where it no longer has to do with you anymore, you wash your hands clean of it and you say, I've done everything I can, but you can't say that when you haven't done as much as it has to do with you. So be very careful not to assume that you've gotten to the point where, as much as it has to do with you, you've been at peace with all men, because chances are you haven't done as much as it depends on you. Like, there is a certain amount of responsibility in Romans 12, 18. It depends on you. Now there comes a point, as much as it has to do with you, where it no longer has to do with you. And you've got to be mature enough that and self-effacing enough and humble enough to recognize when you've done everything that you can do. And at that point, you move on in a different direction from a person or a business or a job or a situation, when you've done everything that you can do. Not everything you know to do, everything you're capable of doing. It's on us, it's on me to figure out what I can do, not just say, well, I don't know what else to do. Well, have I researched it? Have I studied it? Have I asked somebody else who's gone through it? Have I researched what the Bible says about it? Like, in other words, we can't cop out by saying, well, I don't know what else to do. If you just Google it, you'll probably know what else to do. You know, it doesn't really take that much to figure out what else to do. Most people just aren't willing to do it. We'd rather hang our hat on an excuse. I wonder if I'm in the right place. I wonder if maybe you're looking, I was looking for some encouragement. I got to dodge this responsibility. Don't dodge responsibility. It's going to find you one way or another. Master it, and you won't be mastered by it. Okay? So it's emotional intelligence. It's resilience. Growing up requires these three things: emotional intelligence, resilience, and the basic mechanics of healthy relationships. Like these three things, a basic understanding of what it means to have a healthy relationship, and you'd be surprised. You probably aren't surprised, but the majority of people really are not good at the basic mechanics of healthy relationships. The majority of people are unhealthy in their soul, therefore they're unhealthy in their relationships. Most people don't grasp self-awareness enough to be healthy and contribute health to a relationship. You think about it, a head of an ornament of grace, a crown of glory, promotion and honor, all from what? Embracing understanding, which is essential in healthy relationships. Not being heard, but hearing. You say, well, if I'm hearing, then doesn't that person need to hear too? If I'm understanding, well, what about them? It's as much as it has to do with you. You're responsible for you. You're not responsible for them. You can't take responsibility for somebody else. If you take responsibility for you, you will have peace. You will have peace. You say, I can't have peace unless they understand me. No, you will have peace when you understand. Them understanding you is a false, it is a mirage of peace. It's not real peace. Somebody understanding you is not real peace. You understand, because you can't control. You can't have your peace depend on something that is not within your control. There is no peace there because somebody can take it away anytime they want. Our peace needs to depend on what we can control. And I can't control you, but I can control me. I can't control how you react, but I can control how I react. Now, that doesn't mean I do all the time, but I have the ability and the responsibility to do such. And so do you about you. My God, if we could get to the place where we stop trying to get other people to understand and instead seek to understand, then you're not going to have... you're not going to have fights and arguments and elevating the voice. Like you have to raise your voice to be like, why? Because you don't feel you're being heard. So you have to raise your voice. Your job is not to be heard. It's to hear and to understand. To him that has ears, let him hear. The Bible doesn't say to him that has a tongue, let him speak. It says to him that has ears, let him hear. Just trying to help tonight a little bit. Listen, so healthy relationships are built upon listening and understanding, respect and kindness, and empathy. These are the building blocks of healthy relationships. Empathy, and I'll get to that because that comes through self-awareness, which I'll get to. So what is self-awareness? Let's look over in Luke chapter 6, verse 42. How can you say to your brother, brother? Like, you know, when you call somebody brother, you know that you're already off. Brother, let me tell you something, brother. How can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye? But he says, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye, beloved. Oh, he doesn't say beloved there. He says hypocrite. First, remove the plank. The plank. Like, picture this. So he's comparing, you think the other person has the plank in there, like a plank. Remember the old pirate shows and pirate movies? Walk the plank, arg. You're gonna walk the plank, arg. It's like this long diving board kind of vibe. And versus a speck of dust, a speck. So he's saying, look, you think the plank or the log is in their eye and the speck is in yours, but he's saying, no, you need to take the log out of your eye. You say, why does everybody think the log is in the other person's eye? Because your log in your eye is so long, it reaches to the other person to the point where you actually think it's coming from them. And this is self-awareness. This is self-awareness. This is emotional intelligence right here. Right in this verse, he's saying, stop trying to blame the other person as if the log is in their eye. You take the log out of your eye. He doesn't say take the speck out of your eye. He says take the log out of your eye. In other words, it may be that you both have the same problem. And this is not reserved for marriage. This is for any relationship, gang. This is for any and every relationship. This is our relationship. Like, I'm not here to find logs in your eyes. I'm here to take the log out of my eye. Like, I'm living to take the log out of my eye so I can see clearly to take the speck out of yours. Not because we're flawed, but because we're not willing to admit where we're flawed. We're all human, we're all flawed. Yes, we're all flawed. No, you gotta zero in on your own stuff. You cannot do this. You listen to me. You cannot do this. Don't do this at home without righteousness consciousness. You need to have a consciousness of that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Like, what empowers me and enables me to see my flaws for what they really are. They are, I'm screwed up in some areas, you're screwed up in some ways, I've got some issues, you've got some issues, but what empowers me to be able to see it, face it, admit it, and confront it in my own life and let the Holy Spirit, you know, mold it and shape it and change it and even let people weigh in on it. Like I don't care if you saw or see my flaws because I'm not afraid of them for one reason. Because I know that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. So I don't crumble at the awareness of my flaws because I'm established in righteousness consciousness. That I am a son of God. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am everything he says I am inside. So where my flaws reside are in my unrenewed soul, not in my heart and spirit, but in my unrenewed mind that still needs to be transformed through the renewing of my mind. And it's like, it's okay. It's cool. It's like, it's easy. Like, you got to be with your soul like you are with your tooth at a dentist. Like, you're not, you know, the dentist says, oh man, there's a cavity in there. We got to fill that. And nobody's like, no, it's not. I don't have no cavity in there. That's your opinion. Like, you just are like, okay, fill it up. Why? Because you trust a professional. But when it comes to our soul, we're like, I don't know. Look, this is what I do. Like, trust me. I'm not like trying to come up with something to talk about tonight. I guess I don't know. Self-awareness or emotion. Like this, these are the building blocks for success in life. In any role, in any endeavor, and in any and all relationships. This is essential. Amen. And you know, we all think of ourselves as independent thinkers. But, and we all think that our reasoning is based on facts and evidence. But the reality is our brain. This is what you have to realize. Like, you're the righteousness of God, so you got to be able to accept what I'm about to say. Is studies show that our brain spends most of its time defending and explaining what our heart has already decided and declared, and therefore there's no reasoning with a person like that. Because you think you're basing your emotion on facts and evidence, when in fact your brain is working so fast, because that's how God made us, your brain's working so fast that it goes ahead of you to defend your own behavior and justify and rationalize, rather than just stopping for a moment and taking personal responsibility for why you got angry. And why you lashed out, and why you're basing your happiness on somebody else and how they treat you or what the promises they make. See, this is the elixir to all of this, the remedy, the antidote for any of what I'm talking about is having this relationship with God where your trust is in Him, not in anybody else. Where you can trust God, but treat people with respect and with kindness, because you're not needing anything from them. See, when you treat a person a certain way because you want to get something from them, that's manipulation. That's why God is my source. God is my source. I'm telling you, God is my source. He's my source for happiness. He's my source for fulfillment. He's my source of where I get my understanding from. I'm not saying that I won't learn from you. I can learn from you too, but I'm not depending on you performing or behaving in a certain way in order for me to be happy. Like, I accept your flawed self for one reason. And here. You can't accept a flawed person. We don't accept flawed people in our lives until we first accept ourselves as a flawed person. And only in that self-awareness of, I'm flawed. I get it, man. We all have these self-justifying defense mechanisms, and you got to let those things down. And you can only let those things down. You can only let your guard down and let your self-defense, justifying, like, well, I had reason to do this, and there's a reasons, and you made me, and you know, now what I'm doing is I'm lacking self-awareness because I'm showing my emotional unintelligence. If I can give you some words that rhyme so you can remember some of these things, that emotional intelligence is, I would describe it like this. Emotional intelligence is framing, naming, and taming your emotions. Framing, naming, and taming your emotions. It's framing your emotions, like seeing it in a frame, like seeing the real picture, like not taking 50 selfies until you get one that you think looks like you. All the other 49 look like you too. You just didn't like them. Like, what? So so emotional intelligence is to be able to frame your emotions and say, you know what, I got to deal with this anger, or I got to deal with this pride, or I got to deal with this anxiety, or whatever it is, whatever the emotion is, depression, addictive tendency, like whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Like, God already forgave it all. Now what we need to do is frame it. Like, see it, that's self-awareness, frame it, name it, okay, that's that I'm being defensive. Like, I admit I'm being defensive. Like, why did I raise my voice and begin to give a list of all the good things I've done? That's called defensiveness. Like, you have to be willing to call it what it is. When Jesus met that demon-possessed man, the first thing Jesus said was, "What's your name? What's your name?" Frame it, name it, and then you can tame it. That's emotional intelligence in three words. Frame it, name it, tame it. Everybody say it. Frame it, name it, tame it. Now, what is the opposite of emotional intelligence? You can call it whatever you want. You can call it ignorance. You can call it unintelligence. You can call it emotional stupidity. You can call it emotional immaturity. You can call it whatever you want, but I got three words for that. Emotional immaturity, or where we lack emotional intelligence, is when we shame, when we blame, and when we maim. Okay, so we feel the shame. Emotional unintelligence is, I feel shame for what I've done, but because I'm lacking intelligence about it, I now blame somebody for it, and now I blame them to the point where it hurts them. That's maiming them. Maiming is to injure somebody, to hurt. So this is what emotionally unintelligent people do. We shame ourselves or somebody else. We feel the shame, or we project shame. It's shame, and then it's blame. We blame somebody else, and then it's maim. We hurt people when we blame them. Like, nobody, like whatever mistakes that my parents made raising me are no longer on them. They're 100% on me. Here's what I've learned about God. He doesn't accept excuses, but he gives plenty of grace. And when you get a hold of that, you stop making excuses and you start running to the throne a lot more. And then you stop judging people. And you stop getting anxious about others, and you stop trying to get them to change, and you stop trying to get them to have peace with you. You just be at peace with them as much as it has to do with you. And now you're rolling. Frame it, self-awareness. Name it, don't be in denial, and tame it. You will master your emotions. And you will not win every argument, you'll avoid every argument by solving it before it becomes that.
Well, there you have it, gang. All of our lives are built around our emotions. So much in life is about emotional intelligence. And emotional intelligence is that thing in each of us that affects how we control our thoughts and our emotions, how we manage our behavior and our relationships, and it's how we make our personal decisions that lead to success or failure in life. And the building blocks to healthy relationships, remember, are respect, kindness, and empathy. But emotional intelligence is at the core of all these building blocks. It's really about mastering our emotions. Luke 6:42 does a good job summarizing one part of emotional intelligence, where Jesus said, "How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye?" He says, first take the plank out of your eye. That's emotional intelligence. And then you'll see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. A little self-awareness or emotional intelligence would have kept that man from having to be taught that lesson by Jesus himself. You see, emotional intelligence in three words is frame it, name it, and tame it. Well, that's actually six words, but you get the point. Frame it. It means having self-awareness, putting things in the right perspective. Name it. It means that we don't live in denial. It means we admit what it is we're dealing with, and then we can tame it, which is mastering our emotions. When you begin to master emotional intelligence, you are actively taking control of your emotions, thoughts, relationships, and your life. So I want to pray for you right now in just a moment that you would experience that breakthrough in your emotions. But first, I want to thank you for joining me today. It's been an honor. It's really an honor to share God's word with you each and every week. We only have a few precious moments together, and I want to take our conversation to another level. How about you? In other words, if you want to improve your emotional intelligence and bring supernatural health to your soul, if you want to connect on a deeper level, go online right now and request today's teaching, The Power of Emotional Intelligence. It's right here in my hand. It's 5-CD series, and we'll make this entire series yours with your gift of $24 or more to our ministry today. Your gift will help us reach our goal to see 13 million lives engaged, transformed, and saved by the grace and the goodness of God this year. But I also want to tell you about something else. Every single Sunday, we broadcast our message live from Life Changers Church. So you can tune in and worship with a bunch of happy, imperfect people. You can experience the ministry live as it happens. The information is on your screen down below. And can't wait to see you. I'd love for you to join me online this weekend as I'll be ministering God's word at Life Changers Church. Now let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for the power for each person who's within the sound of my voice. Lord, give them hope that they can get control of their life by controlling their emotions, their thought life, and their emotional intelligence in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, listen, remember, I want to connect with you on a deeper level, so call or go online right now and request today's teaching. We'll send it to you with your gift of $24 or more. And listen, you don't have to miss next week. You're not going to want to miss next week. It's all about redeeming your emotions. So taking your emotional flaws and turning those things around so that they are a benefit to you rather than a deficit. Tell your friends, have a watch party. Don't forget to connect with me on Facebook or Instagram. I'm there, and I'll do my very best to personally respond to each and every one of you that reaches out. Now, don't miss our next broadcast. Set your DVR so you don't have to miss another one. I can't wait to see you then. God bless.